Blog Talk Radio.
Monet and left foot.
Whoa!
Get the deal.
Another day.
Dabadini.
I take your pain away. Some people talk about you like they know all about you. When you get down, they doubt you. And when you dip it on the scene, yeah, they talking about it. Cause they can't tip on the scene what you talk about.
In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst. And those of you who may not know, but most of you do, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan celebrated 81 years of life. life on earth yesterday. So whether you can hear me or not, happy birthday, Minister Farrakhan. And thank you all for joining us once again. And I greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. And tonight we have a very intriguing topic, and I didn't ask Brother Kareem in what direction in which he was going tonight, because, you know, he always takes us on a journey, especially when those topics titles are simple, like the Good Samaritan. We all know what that is, but we don't know where Brother Kareem is taking us tonight. But I'm not going to delay any further. I'm going to present, because he needs no introduction, my brother, my friend, my right hand, Vice President of Nation Building Network, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. And how are you again this evening?
I am too blessed to be stressed.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes.
Well, as always, yes, ma'am. You know, and you've already, honestly, you've already opened in the correct manner, as we do everything in the name of Allah. There's no point in me being redundant. However, I will say, in the name of Allah, I am truly grateful and happy to be here and thankful once again for this opportunity that you have allowed me to be able to serve in this manner. So all praise is due to Allah. And yes, tonight, our topic is the Good Samaritan. You know, and I'm sure anybody, regardless of their quote-unquote religious expression, has heard that term, you know, has heard about that parable of the Good Samaritan. But as you know, right here on Nation Building Network, and indeed on Conscious Black Nation, we are here, number one, to present the teachings, the living teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as now given to us and reiterated to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in such a manner that each and every individual can walk away with something they can use in a practical manner in their everyday life. And you know we don't waste any time, so let's go ahead, pardon me, and open in our normal manner by laying a scriptural foundation or base. We want to start in the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, A'udhu Bihi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We're starting in Surah or Chapter 2, Ayat of verse 274, wherein Allah states, those who spend their wealth by night and day, privately and publicly, their reward is with their Lord, and they have no fear, nor shall they grieve. Secondly, we want to go to Surah or Chapter 93. It's entitled Al-Dua, the Brightness of the Day, wherein Allah states, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, by the brightness of the day and the night when it is still, thy Lord has not forsaken thee, nor is he displeased. And surely the latter state is better for thee than the former. And soon will thy Lord give thee so that thou wilt be well pleased. Did he not find thee an orphan and give thee shelter, and find thee groping, so he showed the way, and find thee in want, so he enriched thee. Therefore the orphan oppress not, and him who asks chide not, and the favor of thy Lord proclaim. And finally, Surah or Chapter 94, entitled Al-Insyirah, the Expansion, wherein Allah states, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, have we not expanded for thee thy breast and removed from thee thy burden, which weighed down thy back, and exalted for thee thy mention? Surely with difficulty is ease, With difficulty is surely ease. So when thou art free from anxiety, work hard and make thy Lord thy exclusive object. Pardon me. Sadaqallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. Then we want to go to the Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, starting in verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And finally, pardon me, the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, wherein we find the parable, as it is called, of the Good Samaritan. And it reads, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So this lawyer was talking to Jesus, asking him a question. He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, meaning the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, pardon me, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. And that is the basis and the premise of our show tonight, The Good Samaritan. And without further ado, I want to introduce our guest, our panelist, my dear brother, Brother Ghazi Hamza Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. How are you, brother?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah. And I want to first thank you for being patient with that time that was taken, you know, to lay the groundwork. And the first question I have for you is so that the people can get to know more about, again, our topic. Who is Ghazi Hamza Muhammad, my brother? You know, just talk about yourself somewhat, you know what I'm saying? Because they need to know who you are.
Yes, sir. But I want to thank Allah first and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister for putting in us a desire to do something different in life in terms of affecting change, first among our people, but also among the oppressed people of the world.
Yes,
and I also want to thank Brother Kareem and Sister Aziza, Queen Aziza, for this radio program that, you know, spreads consciousness. And all the believers who are doing something to spread consciousness and get out of our comfort zones and go above and beyond the call of duty to really do something to affect positive change among our people and in the community. Now, the question, man, who is God's Yahamza? That's a heck of a question. Because it's always hard to talk to yourself. You know, I'm reminded of the minister's lecture he gave recently, well, not too long ago, called All Is Vanity. And, you know, sometimes we see ourselves, you know, through a certain light. But, you know, I remember a brother, a student in the ministry, one of the student ministers of the nation, he shared it with me once. He said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told him, brother, you get applause in the mosque, and people high-five you and pat you on your back and say you did a good job. But he said, when you go home, do your wife applaud you? Do your children applaud you? And when the brother said that to me, it really made me think about, like, what's most important is one of the recent messages that the minister put out on Facebook was the value of family. I believe he put it out this morning, something that was put out this morning. He was talking about the importance and value of family. But I'm saying that just to say that when you ask me, like, who am I? Who is Ghazi Hamza? You know, that's in light of my interaction with people. You know, the people that I've, you know, touched their lives, the people who've touched my lives, but just in the basic way, you know, Brother Ghazi Hamza is just a servant, brother. Just a brother who want to be a servant, a genuine servant of our people, a genuine servant of the cause represented by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm a married man. I have 9 children, big family, one grandson. I'm originally from St. Louis, grew up St. Louis, East St. Louis, but now I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona. Been here for the last seven-plus years, and it's been an interesting journey. I first came to the Nation of Islam. My first meeting in the mosque, my uncle was the captain in East St. Louis, Brother Gregory Muhammad, when I was a young boy, and Minister Robert was the minister over the mosque. It's about 82, 83. And I was just a young boy, about 11, 12 years old. My uncle took me to the mosque, and, you know, I never forget the first topic I heard in the mosque was on the hog. And, you know, on Sunday mornings, as is customary in the black community, all times the mothers would cook big dinners on Sundays. If they didn't cook big dinners throughout the week, on Sundays, often they would cook big dinners. And I came home that Sunday morning, my mother had some pork chops on the, you know, she had cooked some pork chops and some macaroni and cheese. And, you know, and I came home. I said, I ain't eating this stuff. And she said, what? I said, they said, let's get the dog, the rat, and the cat in it. I ain't eating that, you know. And one of my sisters said to my mother, she said, that's all right. He don't have to eat it. That'll be more pork chops for me, you know. And that's been over 20-something years ago. And from that point, I registered in the nation at 16 in 1988. Down in Mosque 28 in St. Louis. Didn't really stay out too long. I got into a little bit of trouble. But that's it in a nutshell. I'm just a brother, a servant. I just want to help, Brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as I told you, as I informed you earlier, brother, we got a special guest that would like to speak to you, black man. So without further ado, special guest, front and center.
Assalamu alaikum, bro.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. This is Brother James W. Muhammad. I serve with the great Brother Ghazi in the city of St. Louis, brother, at Mosque 28 A and B. How you doing,
James,
bro? You remember me, bro?
It's all right.
James. Yes, sir. What's up?
Assalamu big brother.
What's going on, bro? How you been?
Oh, man, I'm maintaining my sanity, brother, by the grace of Allah. Good to hear from you, brother. I didn't know you was in Dallas.
All praise due to Allah. Yes, sir. I've been in Dallas for the last 7 months.
Oh, praise be Allah. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yes, sir. How are you, brother?
I'm doing very well, man. I'm hearing about it. I just wanted to congratulate you on the great work you're doing, man, with the debris program, bro. I mean, it's beautiful. I've been seeing you on Facebook, looking at your posts, man. Always productive. You know, definitely an ardent and prestigious brother, you know what I'm saying, just carrying on the work, man. I just wanted to show my personal appreciation.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, Brother James, man, I appreciate that, brother. And the feeling is mutual, brother, for the work that you are doing with the hip-hop program. I, too, stay abreast on, you know, as much as I can with what's going on with that and the value of that type of work among our young people. I want to say, man, you know, it's, you know, and Brother Twain, this goes back to the first question, who am I, you know? Like brothers like Brother James and other brothers that I've soldiered with coming up in the nation, everybody that we soldier with in a real way, they become a part of us, you know? And even the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, sometimes we clash, we have disagreements, but all that becomes a part of who you are. You know, it shapes your mindset, it shapes your love, it shapes your compassion, it shapes your commitment. So brothers like Brother James and Brother Brother Jihad Hassan down there who works with the hip-hop program and so many other brothers in St. Louis, I mean, it's a million of them I can name in St. Louis and, you know, a few brothers in Chicago and Atlanta and a few other cities that up in New Jersey that I've just had the opportunity and privilege, and sisters. I don't want to leave the sisters out, you know. Even though I haven't soldiered with the sisters in terms of going out in the streets, but still, I've come across a lot of sisters who've impacted my life through their teachings, their spirit, and, you know, even sometimes their reprimand, you know, and correcting us as young FYI, you know, when we were a little bit savage, you know. So I just thank Allah for all the believers that I've been able to come across in my life. And Brother James, I love you, brother, and I pray Allah that y'all continue that great work that you all are doing, and that Allah grant y'all much success, brother.
Thank you, sir. I love you too, man. I just wanted to come on and show my appreciation, bro. But I do love you, man, and we watch you, man. Any way we can help in any capacity, man, just let us know and reach out.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
Come later.
Wa alaikum salam.
All praise is due to Allah. That's right. That's Brother James W. Muhammad. That's right. One of the architects of Dynasty Hip Hop mentoring program. That's right. As a matter of fact, we're going to have him come on at some point, you know, him and Brother Jihad, and update us on what Dynasty is doing. So now, our topic again tonight is the Good Samaritan. We just read from the Bible in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And just briefly, when you think about that, it talks about an individual. It talks about a man, it said. It said a certain man. It didn't say any man. It didn't just say a man. It said a certain man. So that means it's a particular individual, all right, if you will. Somebody that there was something special about. Say he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and said that he fell among thieves. And literally, they robbed him of everything and then beat him up, assaulted him, and left him for dead. It talks about the fact that, notice the terminology, it says a priest. And, I mean, I'm not being offensive to anyone, but I just have to tell the truth. The priest, in this sense, represents those who are of, quote-unquote, the Christian persuasion. I didn't say they were Christians. I said they were of the Christian persuasion. And this priest says that he went that way, saw the condition of the man, and instead of offering him any help, he passed by on the other side. He didn't want to be contaminated. He didn't want to be involved. Then it says, and likewise, a Levite. Now, when you talk about the Levites, you're talking about Levi, these were the sons of Levi, quote-unquote, in that sense. And so we're talking about individuals of the Jewish persuasion. Notice, I didn't say that they were Jewish. I'm not talking about anybody's religion, but they're talking about individuals who are of that persuasion. But he's a Levite. He was this is an individual that's a priest or a religious leader in the Jewish faith. He saw the man's condition, and he passed by on the other side. Then it says, it loses the term, it says, but a certain Samaritan. Notice again, we're talking about a specific type of Samaritan. And for those who don't know or not aware, a Samaritan is a citizen or would be a citizen of the place called Samaria. Samaria was the name of
an area or a city in what is now today, which would be known as Palestine. So in other words, it's talking about an individual who is a Muslim. All right, we're talking about somebody who is Islamic. Yes, it's here in the Bible. But he was a certain Samaritan, meaning a particular type of Samaritan, of a certain mindset, of a certain heart. It says, and as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on the man who had been robbed, beat up, and left for dead. Says he went and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then the next day he had to leave. So it said when he departed, he took out some money and gave it to the innkeeper, the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And if anything you spend beyond what I'm giving you, when I come back, I'll make sure you get your money. Now, that having been said, Brother Ghazi,
yes, sir.
As Brother James mentioned, you know, there is a, you have, there is a I don't want to say organization because but you have there a haven, a place called the DeBreeze House. And our second question is this: what is DeBreeze House and its purpose?
Yes, sir. Well, the DeBreeze House is a originally we started calling it a transitional program. And
yes, sir.
Right now, it has become an idea that's actually evolving. When we first started it, Allah gave me the idea of the DeBreeze House, but it couldn't have come into existence without the serious help of several brothers here in the city of Phoenix, Arizona, Brother Talib Rasul Muhammad, one of our Latino brothers who's an FOI,
yes,
very passionate brother. He and I have a lot of similar experiences coming up through the Pano Institution, family life, et cetera. You know, we have a lot of things in common, as well as one of our other young brothers, Brother Kadir Naki Muhammad. And these brothers, along with myself, got together, started talking the idea, and we just made it happen by the grace of Allah. But what it is we have two houses that house 18 to 20 men. So we have beds to house 18 to 20 men. We have a food program that we're working to improve on, that we feed the men. A lot of the men who come, our target market is the brothers coming from prison, those who are dealing with substance abuse and addiction problems, as well as the homeless element. And those three elements were chosen because I literally have experienced all three, as well as, you know, the other brothers who helping in the project. It was born out of our own experience, you know. But the idea right now is a transformation house. You know, personally, I was tired of just, if you read the article in the Final Call newspaper, Allah blessed it, last week edition, put together an article. I thought it was very well put together. It was very nice. On the DeBreeze House, and
yes, sir.
And the last paragraph of the article had mentioned that oftentimes in the Nation of Islam, we limit our outreach efforts to just inviting people to the mosque or distributing the Final Call newspaper to them. But being out here in the streets on the regular, what we're saying is that many of our people are illiterate or semi-illiterate, that they just can't read. So if we draw 10,000 final calls in the area where the people are illiterate or the literacy rate is very high, it's not going to have the effect that we desire because the people are not reading it. Because they're illiterate. Or if they read it, they can't comprehend what they read. So we began to understand that at some point we got to do what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word. But at some point the Word became flesh and walked among men. So we wanted
come
to take
on,
the take this love, take this commitment, take the passion of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his love for our people, and personify that. Where the people, when they see us, they see something deeper than just the paper and the bow tie, they seem real love, real compassion, real affection, and something that can affect their life in a real way. So it felt good once we got this project off the ground. It felt good coming to brothers who had nothing, who was on the streets, who was homeless, coming up out of the penitentiary, and telling them right now, not tomorrow, but right now, we got a place for you to lay your head. Right now, we have clothes to put on your back. Right now, we got a food for you to eat. I mean, right now. If you come right now, at this second, right now, not tomorrow, not a promissory note, none of that. That starts feeling real good to really affect the needs of our people. And I was listening to one of the, and the brother was reminding me of a lecture that the minister gave on, I believe it was called True Christian Love. And the minister said something, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effect that we give the people religion before we, like, affect their needs. And that's like twisted, you know, that we really got to deal with their needs before we give them religion. And the more I thought about that, I started thinking about parents and children and mothers and children. And the mother or the child grows a natural affinity for the mother more than just I came from your womb. It's also based on the ideal and the fact that you suffice a need. Because when I'm crying, I know milk is there. When I'm wet, I know a diaper finna be changed. So even before the child knows the reality that you are mama and daddy, the child understands that my needs are being sufficed. And from that level right there, the child begins to grow an affinity for mother, affinity for father, a closeness with those who suffice in the need. So when I thought about that and the work we're doing with the debris house, it became like clear to me, crystal clear to me personally, that, man, we can't just teach in theories. You know, we just can't teach theories. For over 20 years, I worked in the ministry on some level, you know, assistant minister, doing Jumu'ah prayer service and carrying Sunday lectures and helping out with processing class and the Wednesday night study group and the Friday night study group. And that was good, and I thank Allah for that experience. It's has shaped me so much. But now, personally, I just, I'm at that point now where it's like, okay, now what, you know? I mean, I've seen many brothers come to the mosque and you give them, you know, you deal with them 2 hours in processing class, you talk to them, and then they leave and they go back to the same hell that they exist in. And because we don't get intimate with them and real personal with them, because we really can't because of time constraints. You know, you come for 2 hours and you pretty much leave. And oftentimes, we already know the condition that these men are living in. But it's a different reality here at the debris house. See, these men are here 24 hours a day. And we are on call 24 hours a day. And sometimes we got to get out the bed 1, 2 o'clock in the morning to go over here for conflict resolution because being in a savage state, they would attack each other. And, you know, I'm getting calls all the time. I got to get up out of my bed. My wife looking at me, she's like, go on here. It's not around the corner from me, you know. So I got to travel over there 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and maybe come back. You know, it's time for Fajr prayer, you know, as well as the other brothers, you know. But being a part of their lives like that, it's helping me to understand, like, damn, our people are really living in hell. It ain't just theory. I mean, all these years I've been talking about the blind, deaf, and the dumb. I've been hearing that, teaching it. But, I mean, I'm seeing it in a real way from an angle that I've never seen it before, even though I came up in the street on one side of the street, you know. I mean, I had my battle with drugs. I mean, my mother and family members dealing with drug addiction and substance abuse. But I've never been that intimately involved, not just drug addiction and substance abuse, but brothers who got mental issues. You know, brothers who just got low self-esteem. I mean, this work is really making me respect and understand why Master Farah Muhammad would tell the Christ, I'm giving you the hardest job of any man. Mm. I mean, because I'm looking at men, brother, who are literally, in all sense of the word, dead. No love, no drive, no purpose, no nothing. And you think, like, how did you begin to give this man drive? I mean, you know, good teaching alone ain't going to do it. Good preaching alone. The minister is the most articulate human being that we know. Very articulate, very passionate, but that alone, good teaching, he said. He said, good teaching alone, not going to do it. He said most of our people won't come from the word, and most of us don't have to experience the chastisement of Allah. And when I see our people out here suffering like this, you know, I mean, my heart, Allah is expanding my heart and the brother's heart. He's expanding our breast. And I used to pray, Brother Kareem, to Allah. I used to say a prayer like this. I used to ask Allah, I would say, oh, Allah, make me to love our people as I love myself. But in doing this work, I had to face an ugly truth to myself. And that ugly truth was, Brother God, that you don't love yourself perfect enough. Because you might see me eating some hot chips or something one day. Not with the pork in it, Brother Kareem, but the other hot chips. But I'm saying, you might see me eating one meal a day. You know, you might see me, it just ain't no telling, you know. And when
yes,
I began
sir.
To sit, now my prayer to Allah is, make me to love our people as you love us. As the Christ
Come
love
on.
Us. As the minister. See, that's the perfect love. See, I don't love myself, being true to myself, I don't love myself perfect enough. I pray Allah get to that point. But right now, I don't. To say, make me love you as I love myself, I want to love you as God loves you. So then from that angle right there, I begin to see you as Allah see you, as Master Muhammad see you when he came 9,000 miles by himself to get this dead people. And then when I start seeing it from that angle right there, it expands my breast. It makes me more tolerable, you know. Gives me more endurance in dealing with all the madness and the crazy. Because I'm not seeing it from my angle. I'm seeing it from Allah's angle. I'm trying as best I can. And the brothers who work with the debris house, we're trying as best we can to take on Allah's coloring. And it looks different when you start seeing it from that angle and not from your own ego and your own vanity. So in a nutshell, brother, the debris house is an idea that's evolving by Allah's permission. You know, it started off almost like a shelter thing. We was accepting everybody and anybody. You know, we had to narrow that down, you know, because people were coming with all kinds of problems. And let me say this, in truth, man, I'm going to tell you, brother, the biggest problem that we've had, the greatest problem that we've had has been from people who talk Jesus, people who talk Muhammad, those who profess to be Muslims and Christians, who quote Bible, Quran, and Hadith. This has been the biggest problem. It's been amazing because we're seeing brothers, some registered, who struggle with crack addiction, Orthodox Muslims who struggle with certain things in life, Christian brothers who struggle with certain, but they talk in Jesus, they talk in Muhammad. And this, you know, through this work, I mean, it's starting to make me understand, like, man, this is heavy stuff, because the ones who know religion, who know Bible, who know Quran, oftentimes, them the hardest ones to move, because and learning through this work, these brothers have already, brother, rationalized a coexistence in their mind with crack and service to Allah, with crack and following Jesus. So I've already accepted that I can smoke crack and be a Muslim. I've already accepted that I can shoot heroin and be a Christian. So now when you come at these kind of brothers with Bible and Quran and the study guides and some good words, they already heard all that. They've already used deceptive intelligence and rationalized that I can still do this, live this lifestyle and call myself an FOI. I can still live this lifestyle and say I'm a follower of Jesus. So them kind of people have been hard to reach. But the ones who just out in the street who don't know nothing about God. I'm going to give you an example. This one brother, now we have self-improvement ciphers, where the brothers get together in a circle, and it's based off the self-improvement program. The whole program is based on self-improvement, you know, and we've incorporated the auditing process, you know, with Dianetics. It's working very well to evolve it and grow it. But during one of these self-improvement ciphers, one brother, he said, as religion came up, he said, man, I ain't into religion. Y'all can miss me with all that God talk. You know, and in his mind, he's like, I ain't feeling that. I ain't feeling God, religion, none of that. Now, some of the self-righteous ones among us attacked the brother and was saying, like, you know, almost like, brother, you're going to hell. You got to believe in God and this and that and this and that. Now, I was facilitating a class that night, and I said to the brother, I say, brother, I know exactly what you're saying. I say, because I know that you don't know the reality of the true and living God, I know you ain't talking about the true God.
You talking about this spook God, this mystery God that you seen your grandmama pray to and nothing happened. You seen your uncle pray to, your auntie pray to, your mama pray to, and their condition got worse because they was believing in a spook God, a mystery God. But you ain't talking about the true and living God. But that spook God you talking about, I got a problem with that spook God too. And I said to the brother, I said, brother, really, you on the level most of us who in church, mosque, and synagogue, we swallowed this concept of spook God, hook, line, and sinker. We really more crazy than you are. You saying, I ain't feeling that stuff right there. I'm finna go do and make it happen. God is man. Now, this particular brother right here who said that out of his mouth, he's been the biggest fisherman of the debris house, if you would. He the one going out there in the house by way and telling other brothers, come on, brother, it's another way, brother. He going out there getting heroin addicts and crack addicts and stuff like that. The same brother, but the ones that's talking God. Oh, Lord. I mean, the ones talking Allah. See, you know, we get the high sides and all the time. We want to talk Quran and Bible and all that. And I mean, it's been a heck of an experience to see it from this angle right here, you know? And I don't know how I got off into that, but that's what the debris house is, brother. It's a house of transformation for these guys. The idea and the aim of it is to take these brothers from a point in their life where it's hopelessness or seemingly hopelessness, despair, frustration, disappointment, and bring them to a point, maybe not all the way through, but just to do our part, to at least bring you to that point in your life where your desire changes, you know? As when we went over one of the study guides, Building the Will, and we discussed what the minister was talking about, how desire feeds the will. So we want to get the brother to the point where at least that desire to live has changed, you know? And it's not based on religion. I mean, you know, we've had Muslims come in, and we've even had Caucasians come in. You know, probably 99% of the people who the brothers that we've dealt with has been brothers, black, Latino, a few Native American brothers. But we did have one Caucasian, and it's crazy because this Caucasian, man, he came in, and he had skinhead tattooed on him. He had pure on one wrist and hate on the other wrist. And, you know, and he came to us for help. And, you know, all that stuff for a while, we're looking at him like, you know, back in the days, we'd have went outside his head or something, took him to the back room and, you know, dust him up a little bit. But now it's like, from a lie's cutting, it's like, man, here's a human being that's suffering. And he, you know, how he got to the skinheads when he was in prison. And, you know, he was a skinhead. How he got to it when he was in prison, he had to, you know, pretty much get in where he fit in or else type, you know, reality. But he was saying, like, you know, that ain't my heart and all that. But he still had the tattoos on him. You know, he wasn't bald-headed. He had grew his hair out and everything. But he still had the tattoos on him that were very visible, you know. And but even with him, I mean, you know, we tried to help him and helped him at that point in his life the best way we could. You know, we didn't turn it down. We didn't go out necessarily looking for Caucasians in truth. You know, we tried to aim at the original people, the black man. And since we in Phoenix, Arizona, highly Latino slash Mexican population, and the Native Americans or the so-called Indians, you know, drug abuse and alcoholism is real big up here on the reservations throughout Arizona. And that's a target that we try to go after. But anybody who comes in, I mean, you know, we don't turn nobody away, but we have our mind on the people that matched for Muhammad Cain in 17 with the 2 million Indians, you know.
That's right. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. That's what I'm talking about. Again, our topic tonight is the Good Samaritan. You know, and we right on point. And I just want to let you know, brother, the reason it went in the direction it did is because you're sharing the truth and you are sharing Islam in action, not a religion, but those principles upon which all quote-unquote religions are built, not just lip service. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. First, I wanted to ask you, did you have a question for Brother Ghazi? Or even a comment?
Oh, me?
One.
Me? Me
yes,
personally?
You personally?
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I have been in the chat room and doing other things. But, no, I don't have a question. I heard everything that he said. He's perfectly clear on what he's doing, but there are some questions in the chat room and on the line.
Well, let's fire it up and open it up.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones. Area code 623. Your mic is now live.
Yes, this is Talia Rasul. I'm one of the directors at the Brie House. And just bearing witness to what my brother was saying and going along with the topic of the Good Samaritan, you know, a lot of these brothers, like you said, have been shoved religion down their throat to the point where they don't know which side is going to come out of anymore. You know, you got people that come with the good word, but it has a tainted and filthy motivation attached to it. So the Good Samaritan philosophy of the Debris House has been not focusing on a religion or even a person. You know, me and Brother Ghazi and the other brothers that are involved have never tried to pump Donald Elijah Muhammad per se, Master Far Muhammad per se, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan per se, but yet show them all of that in the flesh. So you got brothers who have never experienced real love and real leadership, and they looking at me and Ghazi as the advocate of that, but what they're really looking at is the Christ.
Come on.
You know, so you got brothers who once have came in and said, these are black brothers. I don't like black people. You know, I won't date my own race. My race has robbed me, stole from me, and the way they think, because these white folks are putting them in facilities and not pushing them towards independency, but are actually making them completely and utterly dependent on them for everything. So they look at them like they're gaining something from them. A lot of people look at us when they come into the facility as we not doing enough because we not giving everything that they desire to them as easy as they've been getting it from some of these other facilities. But we at the Debris House are trying to push them in a direction to look inside self and dig deep, and they can solve everything that they need personally by doing so, you know. So it's a productive house, you know. You have to be working towards your goal. You have to be working towards something. You got to be working towards the self-improvement, analyzing yourself, self-correcting, self-motivating, self-inspiration, because we realize that you have came to the point where you don't know how to do that or apply that to yourself personally. So you have 40-year-old men, 30-year-old men who have never worked a job before. There was a brother today, I took him to the college, and, you know, he was beating himself up because he was just psyched that they've been telling him he's handicapped. You know, they've been telling this brother that he's handicapped. He's mentally unstable. They got him on SSI. And his brother has been to the college twice, and he's been shaken to the point where he just doesn't believe he's going to accomplish anything. Now, I took his brother to the college today. His name I'll leave out, but he's a young man. I believe he's 25 years old. And this brother aced it, man. He aced it. He did better on his test than I did, and we both took the test together. And they called, and he said, man, he looked at me, and he said, man, you made me feel better because I can't believe I did better than you, and I'm handicapped. I said, brother, you're not going to get away with that language with me, man, because you're not handicapped. You see? That's what they've been telling you all your life. You're not handicapped, man. You just proved them wrong right now. But that, the stuff that we've been encountering at the debris house is that people are discarding, stepping over them, walking around them. But who's gonna be the, who's gonna play the role of the Good Samaritan and lift them up? So when they're looking at the brothers at the debris house, these are the biggest supporters. We got people all over the country who have came, who have offered their skill, their talent, and all praise be to Allah. We appreciate them. But the biggest help that we've got in the debris house has come from the debris.
Come on.
So I just wanted to bear witness to everything that me and my brother have experienced. Financially we're struggling. You know, we're not funded by anybody, and a lot of the people we deal with, they can't hold a job. You know, and really, psychologically, they might even be to the point where they can't have a job at this point. You know, but rather than giving the time in the development process after they've been impregnated with something they've never ever experienced, which is love, they impatiently think they got it, or financially they want it, and then they rush the development stage. At the same time, we got to be there when they fall and catch them, and it's devastating to them, and we got to lift them back up and say it's all right, and let's try it again. So to see the continents go up and to go down, I mean, it's an amazing thing to see, and it's also, you know, it's disturbing to see, you know, people that you try to do and help, and what brother said, it's very difficult, you know, for them to see what you see. I told a brother, I said, imagine. He said, why do you do this? Why do you care? I said, man, you know, I see something in you you might not see in yourself. I said, what would you do if you saw, you know, Jesus speaking to a crowd, you know? And then, you know, a couple months later, you seen him in the gutter somewhere. He had got amnesia. And you go to him, and you know who you are? Man, you Jesus, man. Get up, man. Dust it off. And he don't believe you. You see what I'm saying? So we know who you are, but the problem is trying to allow you to see your own reflection, because they've been just beat up. They've been beat up and beat down so mentally that they just don't believe that they deserve it, or that you're telling the truth. So immediately they go to that thinking skeptical, and like everyone's out to get them, and it's very, very difficult to deal with that type of psychology. And what brother was saying is absolutely true, because this is the closest thing I've ever physically came encounter with as slavery. I mean, I've read about it, I've studied about it, I've seen the documentaries, but like face to face in front of you, it's a hell of a thing to witness personally. A grown man, 40 years old, asking me if he can walk down to the end of the block so he can call his mother or something. It's just disturbing to see that. So the work is needed.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Thank you very, very much for that bearing of witness. And I mean, again, right on point, right on the topic, the Good Samaritan, because, again, at the end of the day, unless there is practical application, as Brother Geisy said himself, unless we are actually meeting the people's needs, that's the whole point. When you look at the parable, as it's called, of the Good Samaritan, notice, it said a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, had compassion on this person. It didn't say anything about him teaching the man to pray or anything else, What he did was he took care of the man's immediate needs. That's the bottom line. I want to thank you, brother, for your testimony. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Let's keep it coming. Phone or chat room,
okay.
It don't matter.
Okay, we have a question from Garrett in the chat room. He said, where is the debris house located, and what are the qualifications to get in?
All
yes,
right.
Ma'am. The debris house is located here in Phoenix, Arizona, on the west side of Phoenix, 3732 West Lincoln Avenue. And the qualifications, you know, again, as I said in the beginning, we were taking everybody. But then what we found out was, you know, like people who've committed any kind of crime can come, with the exception of sex offenders. And not that we're judging sex offenders, because, you know, no sin is greater than the next. But what we found out was that when you allow sex offenders into your program, the community began to protest and they come up in uproar. We have parks close to the debris house, schools close to the debris house, and the people start protesting to the politicians, and, you know, they start picketing and things like that. And that's a fight that, you know, we just didn't want to get involved in. So, like anybody else, and you had to have an ID, some kind of ID, so we can at least verify who you are. But down here in Arizona, it's a lot of issues with quote-unquote illegal immigrants. You know, we know they're not illegal, but that's what the system called it. So we were trying to avoid any kind of excuse that that the enemy can use, you know, to come up in there and try to shut it down or whatever. So pretty much the only qualification is being a male, no sex offender, and you have ID, and, of course, you got to be at least 18 years and older. We don't really deal with the children or the younger people at this point, but we are working on developing the program for the juvenile element at the moment.
Oh, praise be to Allah. That's right.
Yes, sir. And Janice wants to know, will you soon, excuse me, will you soon have a place for women?
Man, that's a good question. I'm going to tell you, it's Queen Aziza, and it's been crazy. When we first opened the debris house, we opened December 12th last year, so it hasn't been 6 months yet. And most of the calls that we had, especially in the early days, a few months ago, have been from women. And, you know, we've, one sister, they contact us. She's not in the nation. She's a Christian sister, but a very progressive-minded sister. She did contact us about maybe developing a program for the sisters, as well as, you know, we ran that idea by some of the progressive-minded MGT as well. And I said to the sister that, and that's going to be something that we planning on working on. Actually, she's looking for a place right now, and it'll be something similar to the program that we have for the men, and it'll be a combination as well as Muslims and Christians and, you know, the quote-unquote conscious community helping out in that. But we've had so many calls from women. But what we've seen here, especially in the Phoenix area, is that the majority of the shelters and programs that are in existence are for women and children. But the biggest population of the homeless in this area is men. They have an area here that's something like a baby skid row, and it's called CAS. And when you go to this area, I mean, it's a hell of a sight to see. I mean, a hell of a sight to see. You just see hundreds and hundreds of people, like, literally laying on the ground. Most of them are black people, you know. Most of them are black men. A lot of them medicated. I mean, they out of their mind, walking around talking to themselves and haven't taken showers in weeks or months. And, you know, it's just a heck of a sight to see. And when we look at that, and this particular shelter is co-ed, have men and women, so all kind of crimes going down and rapes, and, I mean, you know, it's just a horrible environment. But they have a lot of quote-unquote resources, but the people don't take advantage of the resources because their mind and their spirits are not being fed. So when we look at the reality of homelessness here, in this area here in Phoenix, Arizona, it's an overwhelming number of men who have no resources. I mean, it's been an explosion of homelessness of men. See, a lot of these guys, Arizona is like a prison state. So one of the sayings here is, you know, you come here on vacation and leave on probation. You know, if you know anything about Pio and, you know, I mean, the whole cowboy mentality that's in this Southwest. So a lot of brothers are coming traveling from California or the West Coast, and they're going back, you know, to the Midwest or to the East Coast or down South, and they come through Arizona, and oftentimes they're caught up on petty crimes and do time, and then a part of probation is that you can't leave the state, you know, but they have no family here. They don't know nobody here. They don't have no family. So a lot of these, I mean, we're seeing a lot of young brothers, 19, 20, 21, 22, I mean, they out here with no family, no friends. I mean, they don't know nobody here. You know, they was passing through and wound up getting 4 or 5 years, and now they out and they got 2 or 3 years of parole or probation, and they don't have no kind of support here, you know. And because we see that element right there, you know, our personal focus is the men. But we are and have discussed with some of our sisters here in the MGT and some of our sisters who are Christians the possibility of opening up a female version, if you would, of the Debris House.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And there's a comment from, I think it's a comment from Lynn. She says that we preach to make ourselves feel good, not knowing how good we will feel if we actually did the work and literally helped somebody. So that was from Sister Lynn.
I got a brother who's been in the ministry, and you know, like the believers know how I like to do what I do, and you know, I like to really share the word of God as Allah blessed me to understand it, or my understanding of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's teaching. But I'm gonna tell you, like in truth, right now. You probably, I mean, it'll probably have to be a direct order from Master Farah Muhammad, the Christ and the minister, to melt me down and pull me back on limiting myself to that reality, just teaching alone. Because this side of it is so rewarding spiritually. I mean, to really get down and it's not known. People don't know it. You know, when we up 3 o'clock in the morning trying to help a brother get through that, you know, he got the shakes, you know. He want to go out there and get that heroin. And we got to be there with him, talking to him, and, you know, giving him milk and, you know, encouraging him and motivating him and holding him while he's shaking and he in pain. And nobody knows about that, you know. It don't get reported on, you know, Nation's Program or, you know, they don't announce it in mosque or church or synagogue or none of that. It's just something you know within yourself as a human being. God knows it, you know, and it just makes you feel good because you look back on it and you look at it and you say, man, you know, I was there. And it just, I mean, that type of work, knowing that you genuinely, from the depth of your heart, tried to help another brother in a real way, whether they get announced or not, that's irrelevant, you know. This part of the work is far more rewarding and beneficial to my soul. It brings so much more peace and contentment of mind. Even though physically I be tired, spiritually I'm well alive and getting more and more, coming more and more to life by Allah's permission, because it's just not theory no more, but the practice is definitely refining the theory, and we loving the practice side of it more than the theoretical side of it.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's all the questions we have for now.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Well, that being the case, very, very quickly, we're at the top of the second hour. I'm getting ready to do these. I'm getting ready to pay these bills very, very quickly because this is a hot topic and it's moving well ahead. Conscious Black Nation is sponsored by, brought to you by Kareem's Construction, Room Additions, Remodeling, New Construction, Roofing, Plumbing, Electrical, Handyman Services, Tile, Waterproofing, Concrete, and Brickwork. Contact Kareem's Construction at 314-651-1094. Amin Holistic Health. The thought is the act. The act is the fact. Receive guidance in the following. Better health through nutrition. Success through faith and works. spiritual progress, conquering addiction, aromatherapy, herbology, never getting sick again. Amin Holistic Health can be reached at 314-616-2060. And when you're in St. Louis on the south side, go to 2846 Cherokee and ask them to create you a Master Pizza at Master Pizza. That's right. Pizza about a slice for cheese, $2.99 plus 50 cents per topping. That's Master Pizza. They also have wings and hand-cut fries. Investing in a healthier community from scratch. And finally, last but not least, when you get that sweet tooth, make sure you get you the best bean pie, produced by our own brother, Jeff X. Contact him at 314-315-7833. Now, moving right along, since we have no more questions and you've actually answered already the fourth question, I'm going to come to this point right now. Now, I know that, well, first I want to ask you the name. You know, where did that come from? How did you come up with the name?
Well, the name Debris, you know, people, when they hear Debris, they think of trash and filth and, you know, like the remains of, like, hurricanes and things like that. And that's one definition of it. But one definition of it that attracted me was, it means the remains of something that have been damaged, broken, or destroyed. So we're dealing with many lives who we see that have been damaged, broken, or sometimes destroyed because of drug addiction, incarceration, divorce, poor choices in life. And the idea of Debris, you know how if you go to NA or AA and you stand up and you say, "Hi, my name is Ghazi, I'm an alcoholic," or "Hi, my name is Ghazi, I'm a drug addict," or whatever. At the Debris House and our self-improvement ciphers, we say, "My name is Ghazi Hamza Muhammad, my life is filled with debris." And that means that all the, if it's lust, if it's greed, if it's envy, I mean, all of us got some kind of debris in us, bar none, all of us. That's why the books say we all fall short of the glory of the God. So all of us have some kind of debris, some kind of filth that we can get rid of. So the ideal of the Debris House is to address the debris that all of us have, and that's beyond addiction. That's beyond alcoholism, you know, because what we're saying is that even drug addiction and alcoholism, that's not the problem. Oftentimes, that's a response to the problem. It's a coping mechanism to the problem. But the real problem we're finding out is that deep-rooted problem that Imam Elijah Muhammad talked about, that self-hatred, you know, that lack of love for self, you know. And when we see brothers who have or who lack this love for self, who have extreme self-hatred, like the brother Tyler was talking about, who was saying he wouldn't date no sisters and, you know, and right now this brother's mindset is totally different now, you know. And as Tyler was mentioning that, I was smiling to myself because, you know, we had a conversation with the brother the other night because this brother, he's, I guess he'll be considered like one of the official first graduates from the Debris House, if you would. And when we met, he was homeless, living in vacant buildings. And the night before I met the brother, he was sharing with us, he lived in a vacant building, and where a lot of other homeless people would gather. They just broke into this place of business, and they pretty much made it their home. After the business shut down, they had their own little way of getting in, and everybody had their little corner that was their house, or apartment. And that night, the police, I guess somebody tripped off a silent alarm or something. They were surrounded by the police, and they had to put a hole in the wall and get up out of there. And you know, he was sharing all that with us. And now, you know, this brother, you know, for the last few months, you know, he's been working a full-time job. He's reestablished his communication and bond with his children. You know, he has two sons. And he just got him an apartment, you know, his own place. So he's feeling so much better. I mean, to see that, I mean, just that one brother, that's, I mean, like all the hell and pain that we've suffered in these last few months
it just works in, you know, just one of our people, you know. I'm like, what match for my mama say, I'll climb a mountain 40 miles high just to reach or teach one, you know. And that one, because we don't know what's in this one, you know. I mean, you know, look at the minister, look at you, look at Queen Aziza, look at anybody who's doing or trying to do any kind of work in our nation, among our people, anywhere. You know, we just don't know what's in the individual that we're going to get, you know. So the idea of the debris house is, you know, the concept is to address the debris and keep it real, because all of us have it. So, you know, we don't play like, you know, we some holy rollers in these circles, you know. And it's not PG-13, you know, sometimes it's rated R, you know, due to language and violent language, you know, because some of these brothers, they express it the way they express it. And we don't try to monitor, you know, we don't try to, like, make it flowery language or, you know, sugarcoat it. You know, I want to hear it the way you bring it, brother, you know. And it helps me understand who I'm dealing with, you know. And the ideal is just that all of us have debris, Brother Kareem. Every last one of us have debris. And when these brothers see us saying that, damn, we too have debris, and they looking at us and they say, man, you know, y'all not like us. And they have no idea to our history and where we've come from. And, you know, oftentimes when people see Muslims and they see you in a suit and a bow tie, a nice vehicle, they think you fell up out of heaven. But they don't know hell. Most of the FYI came up out of hell, man. You know, we came up in the streets. And I know many brothers who were junkies and dope fiends and winos and, you know, sisters who was prostitutes, and they were strung out. And, you know, we were just cleaned up, you know, by a powerful word. But a lot of them don't know that, though, you know. They just think we just some old bougie people all the time because they don't get to know us. But the more these brothers know us, they start saying, like, man, ain't nothing different, you know, too much different between you and us. And I tell them, I say, man, the only thing that's different right now between myself and the brother who's out in the street is choice. I just chose to do something different with my life. It ain't that I'm better, because I was there at one time, you know. I was in rehab, and I'm 40. I'll be 43 in a couple of weeks. But it's crazy. In 1985, I was in rehab. You hear me? I'm a young man in rehab. I was 14, 15 years old. I had to go to NA and AA program back in the 80s from high school, you know, coming by the Soledad High School in St. Louis, Brother Kareem, you know. And, you know, my mother, she was, you know, when I was coming up, my mother, she was pretty much in the street hustling, you know. If you see my mother, I mean, back in them days, she was the type of Cadillacs and pistols and gold teeth in her mouth, you know. And that was my mother, you know. And my uncle was a Muslim, and my mother, she didn't really want her son. She had five boys. She didn't want us to go down that road, so she encouraged my uncle to come get us and take us to the mosque. And, you know, my brothers, I just grew an affinity for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching. Even though I was still hard-headed and a roughneck and rebellious, in my heart, I just love hearing the minister teach. I love hearing Brother Robert teach. You know, Minister Robert, may Allah be pleased with him. Love, you know, being around the FOI, you know, some of the older brothers, you know, I mean, it's just a list of the brothers who, as a young FOI, even though I lead a mosque and go smoke some weed, you know, I lead a mosque and go drink a 40 ounce, but I would always want to go back to the mosque because I love being around the brotherhood. It just impacted my whole psychology, you know. I love being around it. So when these brothers start hearing our stories, they start saying, you know, where we've come from, they're like, man, you know, y'all got wives, y'all got children, y'all have homes, y'all are business owners. And it started making them understand that, damn, if y'all did it, then I can do it. If I choose something different as well, you know, if I choose a better course in life, I can do it too, you know. With developing faith in God and faith in myself, I too can do it.
That's right. That's right. And you're absolutely correct, because that's one of the things that we, quote-unquote, as you were mentioning earlier, who are of the conscious community, you know, the religious community, we have to understand, you know, we talked about it last week, as a matter of fact, that self-righteous attitude, that's of no effect. That's of no use. I mean, I'm with you, brother. I mean, how am I going to effectively communicate the value of what I have to an individual if I'm looking down at them from a quote-unquote position of superiority, as opposed to being among them as according to the scripture, quote-unquote, that's what the Jesus did. That's what the Jesus does. He didn't try to walk
above the people. He was right there among the people, and they were able to relate to him because he had had many of the same experiences they had. You know, so, I mean, that's, I'm with you. I agree with you, brother. I mean, 100%. All praise is due to Allah. I mean, I'm loving this. This is beautiful. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Anybody got their hand up again yet, or do we need to start flipping switches?
No, I think everybody is kind of like me. They're just listening and learning. But allow me to remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, you can press one on your dial pad. And, of course, you all in the chat room, I mean, they're talking back and forth, you know, but they're not necessarily asking questions. And I guess it's because Brother God is just making it so plain, you know, that it's important that we have that human connection and that we actually do the work. And we have long had lip service. You know, we get lip service from pastors and preachers and ministers and politicians and presidents, you know. But when it comes down to just that hands-on helping people, that hands-on being a brother or sister, you know, helping someone to, you know, just obtain the basic needs, food, clothes, and shelter, you know, and that human touch, that's what it's all about. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care if you Jewish. I don't care if you African. I don't care if you white. Everybody needs that contact with humanity and to uplift and inspire one another. And we as people in general, and black people in particular, after all that we have suffered, the only thing that has transcended through the time is the love, you know, and it's quickly fading away. It's quickly being consumed by all of the hypocrisy and all of the politics and all of the nonsense that is going on in the world. When you look at the 60 black towns that were established immediately after slavery, what in the hell did the people have coming out of slavery? Not nothing. But they had the power of unity, they had the drive, they had the will, and they had the love. And love does not mean that everybody is getting along and smiling and everybody agrees. But it means that that love had enough power in it to see the big picture and how we get to the next level. We might not all agree, but let's work together to get to the next level. And that's what we're supposed to be about. But I'm not going to preach. Brother Kareem, there is a caller from the great state of Georgia on the phone. You want to take
it? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Bring them on.
Area code 404. Oh, sorry, so many of y'all. Last four numbers, 6820. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum
salam, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I was I'm overhearing a conversation, and it made me think about an experience that I just went through recently with one of my family members. He's of the Moorish American persuasion, if I would say that, if I could use those words. He was telling me, like, you know, he doesn't agree with the teachings because of, you know, we're not talking about nationality. And I was just kept explaining to him. I said, well, brother, Minister Farrakhan teaches us that the whole earth belongs to the righteous. So when we talk about nationality, our nationality is the Asiatic people of the earth. If we believe that the earth belongs to us, we want that. We don't want to be just considered a nationality, you know, of people or whatever, you know. And he just was talking to me, and I was like, you know, well, I don't game bang in religion, you know, because united we stand, divided we fall, and that's what Willie Lynch is all about, you know. And they just always try to beat up on me. Well, Renetta, we're holy matrimony, Renetta, and all this and that. And I just be like, you know, I think sometimes with us we, like the brother said, we have so much debris in us, like, you know, from the Willie Lynch syndrome, unconsciously, you know, we don't even know that we are all the same, because I'm not better than nobody. I, like he said, I just choose to go a different route. But you come to me and you tell me, Renetta, you know, Minister Farrakhan this, Minister Elijah Muhammad this, Master Farad this, but then you selling drugs, you smoking weed, and I could be all around all of this, and I could still uplift you all and try to make you all understand that it's a better way. And then they look down on me. But I think it's like, you know, I think it's unconsciously, I think they want to understand and they really do want something different, but they don't believe in themselves enough, you know, to see what's behind that veil, you know, on the other side. They just like this world so much that they don't want to go, you know, they say like, well, slavery, it wasn't done to all of our people. We did that to ourselves and all this and that. And like I say, you know, like they said about the medicine, if you take Tylenol and you don't worry about, you know, who made Tylenol or where it come from or is it true, you just want to know, does it work for you? So when you talk about Willie Lynch and the Willie Lynch syndrome and slavery, we just want to look in our community and study it, and we want to see, does it apply to us? You know, and it does. So when we talk to each other, we have to understand that we have a common enemy, and we are not of our own enemy. And he kept telling me, he was like, well, we want to talk about self. I got to worry about myself before I can worry about anybody else. And like I told him, I said, I'm for the whole, because when Allah looks at us, he don't look at individual. He will sacrifice the individual for the whole. So therefore, I want you to understand that when I talk to you, I'm not talking to you as of myself. I'm talking to you from the God within me, and I'm telling you that we need to start looking at the whole, because the only way we can stand is we unite with one another and love one another. And I just want to leave you all with them words. Thank you so much. I really do. I am really enjoying the show, and I always do. Keep up the good work. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Twain, can I say something to what that sister was saying?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, bro. Yes, sir.
She made such beautiful points, because, you know, we've seen, you know, now as followers of Elijah Muhammad, you know, we, you know, when people attack the minister, you know, it's on with us, you know. You know, you can't attack I'm just saying something about your mom almost, you know, because he's been a father.
That's right.
And continue to be a father to so many of us, you know. So people have come, you know, some of the brothers coming to the Debris House from different persuasions. I have a lot of more science friends, you know, brothers who I've come up with who really impacted my life. I have a lot of love and respect for Brother Noble Jew Ali. You know, I have, you know, the material, the Circle 7, the 101s, Brother Kareem, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that Noble Jew Ali's teaching is a part of me. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, like, God looked past our faults and seeing our needs, right? And
that's right.
Brothers have come to the Debris House and they want to argue. You know, like when they find out we Muslims and we up under the menace, especially some of the Orthodox Muslim men, you know, and it's crazy because here they are, want to tell us that, you know, y'all believe in, you know, y'all guilty of shirk, you know, y'all don't believe in the true Allah or, you know, the true Islam. And you know, I'm looking at this brother as he's talking to us and they're saying, but, man, you are not facility asking for help right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got a drug addiction right now. So, in our mind, we got to look past that, because it's easy to start debating him. And, you know, we can go there. If he want to go into the Hadith, Sunnah, Sharia, Fiqh, it don't make a difference. The Arabic, the Quran. I mean, we can battle on any level he want to battle on. But at some point, we got to choose our battles wisely. And we're finding out that some battles are not even intelligent to fight. Some of them ain't even intelligent to fight. Brother who's suffering like that, man, I ain't finna argue religion, man. You just rapping, man. You just straight rapping, man. I mean, you just, the brother who was arguing this with me, when I found the brother, literally, he was drunk and cracked out. And I didn't even know he was a Muslim. He found out he was Muslim. He said, and once he sobered up, he started saying, Salaam alaikum, and, you know, he got a certain degree of proficiency in quoting Islam. I mean, did the brother know the Arabic? He knew his prayers and all that. And I was shocked that he knew all that, based on the condition that I seen the brother in. But then he want to start arguing over al-Islam and the Nation of Islam. We didn't even engage that argument right there. We looked past his faults and saw his needs.
And that was the spirit that we was coming. It's like, man, you know, you battle with yourself, because right now religion ain't what you need to be battling with right now. You know, you got something within you, low self-image, low self-esteem, self-hatred. That's a greater battle that you got to fight. And rather than engage you in a fight, a little silly fight that you want to fight that divides us all up, the minister is an excellent example in teaching us how religion divides all of us up. Same thing with Christian, but they come in and they start finding out, you know, the debris house is ran by Muslims. It's like, oh, man, y'all don't believe in Allah. But you in this facility looking for help. And we're going to serve you and be just to you, be courteous to you, be polite, be respectful. And, you know, one thing that I've seen, and trying to be really just, you know, we had a brother come in who was on record, a registered FOI, you know. But, you know, this brother had, you know, some he struggled with a certain drug addiction. And he, yes, you know, he got a confrontation with one of the other brothers who was a Christian. Now, the brothers, they watching because they want to see if the Muslim going to back this Muslim brother on the strength that he a Muslim. But the Muslim brother was filled with BS in truth. He was totally incorrect, yes, and uncivilized in how he was coming. So we didn't accept that like that. And when they seen us get on the brother who was a Muslim, who was talking about the Amalaz, was talking the same talk we talk, but we look at him because we're not taught to back you when you're wrong. I don't care who you are. We don't back you when you're in the wrong. And when them brothers seen that, it just increased their love and their respect, because they're like, man, you know, what kind of Muslims are these? You know, what kind of people are these? Because they were anticipating us to all jump on the Christian brother and back in the Muslim. You know, but we didn't do that, you know. So some fights, I mean, we got to really choose when to fight, how to fight. You know, people come all the time and they want to argue religion, you know. Like Brother Tyler was saying earlier, you know, we don't oppose religion per se. What we want to do is, you know, when people leave, no matter what religion they is, when they came or when they leave, we want you to have a positive image in your mind. When you say Muhammad, it's going to be an image in your mind that say, Muhammad served me at one time. So when you encounter any other Muhammad, you're not going to get in your mind terrorist. You're not going to get in your mind 9/11. You're going to get in your mind, Muhammad served me. They gave me, when I was hungry, they fed me. When I was naked, they clothed me. When I was out of doors, they gave me. When I was in prison and went to the hospital and sick, as some of them brothers do, he visited unto me. See, we want to put that image in your mind, not the image of beat you down over theological differences. You know, we can argue that all day long, but, I mean, we find out that that stuff, that, I mean, that ain't even a fight that we even try to get into. You know, we, you know, the Quran said clear, said you be your way, and to me be mine, you know. And your brothers, your brothers look at our example, and they say, man, as brothers have said, you know, we've taken brothers to the mosque from the debris house. They say, man, you know, can we come to the mosque? Come on, brothers. You know, we've taken, you know, a couple carloads of brothers to the mosque. You know, some of them have stood up and accepted the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There wasn't no compulsion in there. We didn't beat them down with that. You know, we have DVDs that administer on the facility. We have Bibles. We have Qurans. We have different books. You know, we got a library at the facility. But we don't beat them down with no religion and say, you got to accept this way or that way, you know. But there are some good points that the sister was making. And then just one last point to something that the sister, Queen Aziza, was saying about love. And she said that people think love is like this peaceful, nice thing and all that. You know, the Bible says that love endureth all things. And when you look at that, that means, like, it's going to be, I mean, just put in your mind what all things could be. You know, all the hell, pain, suffering, disappointment. I mean, love, I mean, that those verses right there are almost implying that you've been experiencing something. And the only way you're going to get through this experience is through love. And this experience is not going to be nice. This experience ain't going to be all flowery and sugary. It ain't going to be like that. It's going to be hard as hell. It's going to be rough. And the only way you're going to get through that in a relationship with a spouse, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, it ain't going to be easy. And all the time we come, we start saying, ain't no love here. And they have a love. Who said love is going to be easy? It's a love and do it all things. You know what I'm saying? We taught that love is that creative force. They create everything in the universe, you know, the mentor teach us, you know. I mean, but this little funny definition of love we got, this little weak emotional type definition of love that we have. So, you know, I didn't want to say that. I wanted to say that he just brought that to mind because I'm struggling with some of these brothers. And the only thing that keep us going is this growing love for the brothers, even if they don't have literally love for themselves. It's like, man, we're going to love you beyond your hatred of self and your hatred of us. You know, we're going to love you beyond that. The love going to endure when you on the right path and you doing a good job, and all of a sudden, as some of these brothers have done, and all of a sudden, you know, they get their paycheck and they go right back to the streets and spend every dime on crack. Every dime. And then they got to come and, you know, face Brother Muhammad and them again, you know? And in their mind, I mean, they're trying to understand, can I do it, you know? How do I face him? And we don't judge, you know, because we all fall short, you know? Like Brother Tyler was saying earlier, you know, we encourage the brothers to keep on moving, you know? That's why I say the debris house is an idea that's evolving, because, you know, like in our policy, it's like we have zero tolerance for drug and alcohol use, because we don't want people coming there using, affecting brothers who's trying to clean their lives up. So then, you know, in the early days, we put people up out of there once we found out that they was high and drunk, and they tried to run all kind of game. But since we from the streets, game recognized game, we done been there, seen that, done that, you know, off time.
That's right.
You know, so we look at them and, you know, we read them and, you know, we call a spade, call it what it is. And they full of BS, we let them know. They full of BS. But now, you know, this growing love, because if we put them out, we're going to put them out to what? And this is a conversation Brother Taliban I had. The minister said one time, he said he hoped that, or he would hope that in the nation of Islam, that we would develop a reality in the nation that we wouldn't have to put people out for violating the restrictive law. That we had something in place that can help them. If a brother dealing with lust, I mean a sister dealing with lust, that can help them. If somebody dealing with stealing or smoking drugs or whatever, that we have a mechanism in place that can help them. You know, I believe it's getting to that point that, you know, with the Dianetics and a lot of programs of believers are developing. But, you know, as a whole, we're not at that point yet. But that's what he said he wanted to see one day, you know. And as we thought about that and we talked about it, we're like, man, we just keep putting them out. I mean, we know they're junkies when they first come. They already know, you know, do the intake. I've been on crack for 25 years, you know. I've been on heroin 25 years, you know. And those are some serious addictions to have, brother. I mean, those are some serious physical addictions to have. And they mind, I mean, people think they need it. So, you know, in a month or 2 months or something like that being good or doing good, you know, that may not be a sufficient enough time to make that total transformation or even get over that hump where now I'm going to start to the process of total transformation, you know. And but that love, man, allows us to endure all this.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, I mean, what you're saying
okay.
is absolutely correct.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead,
Brother
Kareem. We got a couple questions.
Okay, well, we're going to get to them. All I was saying is that what Brother Ghazi just said is absolutely correct. When it comes down to love, the majority of us have this mamby-pamby idea of what love is. Basically, what individuals are suffering from is what's commonly called romanticism, you know, or what some individuals will call romantic love, all right, or what my brother calls Roman antics. See, they romanticize it, like you all were saying. Like it's everything is when you say love, all everything is so sweet. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in defining the word love, he defined love as freedom, justice, and equality. That's love. Love is not a noun. Love is a verb. It is the actions that we take that are of a beneficial nature to our fellow man / woman. That's love. You know, and I mean, so I mean, you're absolutely correct. We're going to go on and we're going to go to these questions. Go right ahead, Queen Lizzie.
Okay, y'all can put y'all seatbelts on.
Oh,
and
ready?
Pray that I don't. This is from Lawrence. Lawrence says, sometimes I get confused. It seems like Muslims just want to hang with Muslims. And if they are talking to you, they are trying to preach to you or get you to be a Muslim. but the minister says unite. Y'all are confusing me. Okay. I'm going to mute my phone, Brother Craig.
Yes, ma'am. I want to thank Lawrence for his comment / question. All right, and Brother Guys, I'd like you to address that if you would, please.
Well, you know, man, unfortunately, Brother Lawrence is correct. You know, unfortunately, he's correct for many of us. You know, I mean, for, mm-hmm. you know, years in the nation, you know, I've seen, I've been a part of, and it has been my psychology. You know, oftentimes, you know, we go to events of other black organizations and things like that. And, you know, oftentimes, I mean, you know, we go with the idea to sell a final call or, you know, if our man is speaking, you know, whether it's our local minister or the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, I mean, I've just seen so many times, I've been a part of it myself, that once our man get through speaking, we gone. You know, we up out of that. You know, and it's almost like half of the crowd leaves. You know, and people looking like them, you know, everybody leaving. Everybody with bow ties and headpieces on, vacating premises now. It's very few that stay around for the entire program because oftentimes in our minds, with our self-righteous self, we don't see no value in what other people do outside, quote-unquote, Nation of Islam. But we taught that the entire 1718 is a nation. It ain't just limited to mosque activity. So one thing I'm loving with the Debris House is evolving me. Evolving the brother Talib and Kadir, it's taking our mind beyond what we call a mosque mentality. Because a mosque mentality is different from a nation mentality. They worlds apart. Yeah. Mosque mentality says posts and this and, you know, final calls. That's mosque mentality from the level of this right here. Now, I know some people going to have a problem with that. But so let me clarify what I'm saying. I'm saying if you just limit the activities of nationhood to what we do in the mosque, then we've already lost. When all of us signed our pledge card, we signed a pledge card that said, I pledge to build hospitals, buy farmland, to build schools, to enter into international trade and commerce for the good of myself, my family, my people. You know, we said I will spare whatever I can of my time, my finances to accomplish the above said. I mean, when you look at what we signed on that pledge card and look at what we've become accustomed to in the religious, ritual, ceremonial type things, it's totally different than what I signed that pledge card. You know what I'm saying? So now, years later now, we got the economic program or the blueprint. I mean, this ain't nothing new. You know, I mean, those, even a nation for any amount of time, I mean, when you first came in, this is what you signed. Every last one of us signed this, what we're trying to do. Buying farmland is nothing new, but the minister got to keep coming over and over again because somehow we're not grasping it because we become so religious. We become so ritualized and not really spiritual and living a spiritual principle. So all the time, like, so many people feel like that brother Phil. I mean, I've heard that so many times. I've been a part of it. I've been guilty of that. Like going to an event, once we through doing what we got to do, we up out of that, you know. And now, I mean, I pray to Allah that He give me the kind of heart and that I can endure, that I can stay there and really socialize and mingle with our people and learn something from our people and things like that, you know. So I want to grow beyond that small-like mindset. And it's an evolutionary process. The minister teach about it. He said that when Jesus first came to the disciples, He told them to, you know, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At a certain point in the mission, then He said, go ye to all the world. But that's evolution. All the believers are going to have to get to that point where we evolve. The minister said something here, brother, you know, I want to share. When, you know, he comes here to Phoenix, Arizona often. And pretty much every year since I've been there, you know, the minister always come there before Savior's Day and prepares for his Savior's Day message. And time I was asked to be with a group of brothers who picked the minister up from the airport. And we were in his office at the National House here in Phoenix. And the minister said something that blew my mind, brother. I mean, it blew my mind, Brother Kareem. So the minister, you know, he called the brothers in, and he got to asking everybody's name and things. And the minister said, brother, he said, brothers, stop saying black, 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 black. He said, when you say black, 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 you alienate other members of the original family who don't necessarily consider themselves to be black.
Like our Latino brothers, like our Native American brothers, they all a part of the original family. And he said we got to learn and grow into a more universal expression of the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then he said, learn Spanish and learn French. He said, because these languages are going to allow us to communicate with our people who was colonized in the Western Hemisphere by Spain and France. We already know English.
That's right.
And he said, because the time is coming. Man, it just hit me like a sledgehammer. He said, the time is coming where we're going to send the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad out to rule countries. Now, brother, I'm standing like all this away from the minister while he's saying this, and I'm looking, I'm like, damn, in my mind. I'm saying, in my mind, truth, this is my thoughts. You mean to tell me that a nigga like me can rule a nation? I ain't talking about no lieutenant or no captain or no secretary. I ain't talking about that. He said, rule a nation. The father of Elijah Muhammad wanted to rule nations, but he said we got to learn the language and the culture of the people and express these teachings through their language and their culture. Man, that blew my mind, bro. It revolutionized my thinking, man. That was about five years ago. That put my mind on a journey. From when I heard that, it hit me because I'm thinking like, man, you taught me black. I learned black from you. I thought I was a nigga. I learned how to say black from you. Now you saying now, stop saying black. Going to a more universal expression. So I think what that brother is saying and what he's feeling and so many of our people feel, they feel that undeveloped believer who haven't grown to that point that the minister's saying, that universal expression, where our view is just narrow still. But we don't get that by Allah's grace. If we own the path and we praying and we studying and, you know, we living the life the way we could live and should live, we'll get that. All of us, you know, by the grace of Allah, we'll get that. Or our children, somebody going to get that, you know. But I think that's what that brother feeling, you know, the pain that he's feeling. Every time y'all come, y'all want me to be a Muslim. Isn't that? I mean, if we understand it, man, you already Muslim. Now, Elijah Muhammad said, you can't convert the black man to Islam. All you got to do is accept his own and be himself. That's why we don't impose religion on people. You just be yourself, and you're already a Muslim. Whether you call yourself a Muslim or not, that's irrelevant. You already do good. Do unto others. What was I'm going to say? The best religion is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, be righteous, pure in heart. You know, love your brother and your sister. Then you know you are already a Muslim, even if you don't call yourself a Muslim. You know, even if you don't, you know, so you know people. Some people ask like, man, you know, bring all these brothers to the mosque. Bring a, hi, man, you know that, I mean, in truth, bring them to the mosque per se, if brothers ask, yeah, we'll take them. But more importantly than bringing you to the mosque is bringing Islam to you. That's my point.
Right.
If you heard the saying, if the mountain don't come to Muhammad, then Muhammad got to go to the mountain. And we've learned somebody got on that fight to say, the minister say time and time again, we don't have enough mosques in America. To all our people. If they all come, where are we going to put them? We don't have enough, you know. So at what point do we take Islam to the streets, personify that love that we got from the mosque, that brotherhood that we learned from the mosque, and put it to practical application among our brothers and our sisters out there in the streets where they can see love personified. They can see Farrakhan not in words, but they can see Farrakhan in action. The same love and compassion that we feel for this man that he gives to us, being a father to us, a nurturer to us, one who cultivates us and have patience with us, can we in turn do the same thing for our people?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Queen Aziza.
Woo. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Tracy wants to know, do you plan to take the idea of Debris House across the nation?
Oh, that's another good question. Because this meant, you know, like originally we didn't think like that, you know, in truth. I must admit that we didn't think that big. But since, you know, a brother here put together, Brother Hakeem, he put together a very nice video for us that, you know, we put out on the social media. And people have seen that video, and I've gotten calls from at least 3-4 other cities who say are believers and non-believers or registered Muslims and those who don't consider themselves Muslims, who have contacted us and said that they have properties and that can we come and, you know, see, you know, show them how to set it up. You know, people have asked us questions and things like that. And we intended on visiting other cities in the very near future. And right now, I guess we're at that phase where we're concretizing our approach, you know, like merging the self-improvement study course with Dianetics. Man, I mean, I guess a beautiful merge. And the base of all that, the root of all that is that's just that genuine love, no judging our people, no self-righteousness, none of that madness right there. Just get out there, roll your sleeves up in love. And when you put that mix together, I mean, we're seeing a real good outcome. But it's growing and it's evolving. It's not what we want it to be, you know. It's not where it was at one time. It has grown since then. And it's steady growing by Allah's permission. But to answer that question, yes, ma'am, without a doubt, we've been contacted by people from at least 4 or 5 different cities who want us to come down there and show them how to do it. You know, the same way we did it on a grassroots level with almost no money. You know, Brother Tyler got 7 children and a wife. I have 9. Well, 8 children at home and a wife. And, you know, we're not rich. So it ain't, and if you intend on getting rich in this, you're in the wrong business. I don't even think about it. If you want to get rich in this, you're going to have love and sacrifice. It's going to be a hell of a sacrifice. It's financial, mental, spiritual, emotional. You're going to have to sacrifice, give up some real sacrifice. But if anybody out there who has that kind of mindset, who has that kind of heart, then this definitely the kind of work that will yield greater returns, you know?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
All praises to Allah. And I know, Brother Ghazi, that you take donations. So if you have something set up where you can take donations, you want to share that with us before you go?
Yes. And, you know, okay, so let me share with you a weakness of mine. I don't know too much about the technology, right? So, you know, we was working with a website, and, you know, Brother Talib and I, we both from penitentiary, we come from the streets, and we read a lot. You know, we try to live, you know, what we read, but we don't know too much about the technology. And we've had believers that just to come aboard recently to help us in developing our website. We do have a website that's up. It's not finished by no stretch of imagination. It's just something that we were trying to put together, like something that, because people told us that you need a website. Originally, you know, we were just, our idea was just local. Let's get out in the streets, you know. We weren't looking for no attention, none of that. But with the video out there and you know, the article in the Final Call newspaper, people have just been contacting us. And really, their contact has been way beyond our ability to grow. And so, really, I'm going to say it like this. If it's anybody out there as well who have knowledge on like, website development, by all means, we need some help. You know, we got a PayPal account set up. We have a GoFundMe account set up, and you know, we try to manage it. But the paperwork side and the economic, like, and we've been accepting local donations. Some donations have come in through the PayPal, and I mean, you know, I don't even know how to put the PayPal to the website. I just don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I've never got into that area of technology. Maybe Brother Kareem, maybe you can help me with that. You know, you, Sister Aziza. Because I just don't know about that Talib and I, and people who have come thus far, and with the helping us with the paperwork, you know, developing our paperwork, they've been very instrumental. You know, Sister Reed out of California, Sister Paige here in Phoenix, Arizona, and you know, other believers who are helping us, they've been very instrumental in developing us in terms of business wise. Our idea was to get out there. We didn't have everything in place. Everything was locked down in terms of, like, having an actual business structure. We just wanted to go out there and just do it. You know, both of us just was go-getter type brothers, along with Brother Kader. We just wanted to go do it. But out of that love and working like that, you know, people have come along, and they're seeing the weakness. You know, they're looking past our faults, and they're seeing our needs. And they're saying, look, brother, you know, we can help you with this right here. We can help you with that area right there. You know, but if the email is, thedebrishouse@gmail.com. If people want to donate, I can like send them the link for the PayPal. Again, we have it set up, but we don't know how to set it up with the website that we have. And we have pictures and we have information that we want to put on the website, stories, developments, and we just don't know how to do that kind of stuff, you know. And we're looking for people to help us, to assist us with that. But if you want to contact us, you can contact us at thedebrishouse@gmail.com. And the website is thedebrishouse.org. If you want to, like, you know, see what we got, if it's any web experts out there that, you know, can offer us some assistance and show us how to do it, you know, you make it just walk, or give us a tutorial over the phone or something.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, Brother Geyser. Now, you
yes,
say
sir.
You have a PayPal account set up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what you want to do is, if they want to donate using PayPal, give them the PayPal account, the name of the PayPal account.
Man, I don't know how to do that. I mean, like,
no, I'm saying, is it the debrishouse@gmail.com? Is that how you sign in, or?
Man, a brother walked me through that. I was on the phone with another brother, and he walked me through that. And I know it's out on Facebook. Somebody have donated through Facebook. I don't know who the brother was who donated through the PayPal. But I can maybe send it to you or Queen Aziza. I just don't. It's like a lot of numbers, and it's all kind of stuff on it. I mean, again, a brother walked me through that because he said, man, you know, get a PayPal, and people can donate from across the country, you know.
You and I will talk, and then we'll get that information out to the people. But like you said, at this point, if they want to contact you, it's thedebrishouse@gmail.com, correct?
Right. And then let me say this, too. I mean, not just monetary donation. You know, these men, they come with no clothes. You know, we've had people who have called who just donated clothes, like men clothes, and these brothers are so appreciative. I mean, because they have nothing. Some of these guys have been in the streets for years. They come out of prison. They don't have nothing. And, I mean, we've had brothers that donate nice shoes and suits and nice jeans and shorts and T-shirts and things like that. You know, one brother called, I believe he was in Florida, and he wanted the address and to send us a big box of clothes. You know, so if anybody out there just have used clothes that they don't need, that would be grateful, deeply appreciated. Because that's something that we definitely need, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, go ahead and give them the address again.
Okay, the address is 3732 West Lincoln, that's Phoenix, Arizona, 63009.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to make sure I get that information from you, because you and I are going to be talking, because literally you and Queen Aziza have already asked and answered the last question that we had for you, which is, how can any of us assist you in this mighty work? see this, when you're doing it, it just flows. See, I mean, I didn't have to ask the last two questions.
You know, prayer too, man. You know, prayer. You know, just prayer. I believe, you know, the minister echoed this a lot, that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. You know, just prayer for any believer and the effort that they do to, you know, really go out there and help our people. Anything that we do, anytime I hear believers or anybody that's doing something good and valuable, I really say a prayer to Allah, Master Farah Muhammad, for their success. And anything I can do to help and be of service to anybody else, because we want to be like the minister and be servants, you know. And we find joy, man, and real joy, brother, sister, and just being good servants to the people. Just real joy in that, you know?
Yes, sir.
Praise
the Lord. Well, are there any more questions or comments?
None that we're going to share. Well, I mean, you know, there are a lot of questions about the minister and programs that he has, and but hold on, you got a question from San Antonio. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Carl.
Alaikum salam. I just have a comment, beloved. How y'all doing?
Go ahead, Black. Man, all praise
to Allah. I don't really know who's all on the line tonight. I just kind of came in the middle of it, but all of y'all just spoke so well. The sister's question, and I heard a few other people offer a question, and y'all gave such beautiful answers. And I just wanted to know who are these two brothers. I have one brother named Hakeem. Is that correct?
Well, Brother Kareem is on
the
line.
No, it's Brother Ghazi.
And Brother Ghazi.
Okay, I apologize. Yes, sir. I was just trying to find out because y'all spoke so well. I just wanted to know who you were. But the thing that I wanted to address was, and I hope I don't get my sister, she's still listening, upset, but I just have a disagreement when the sister said that we're all the same. And we've all heard the minister say that there's no two snowflakes the same. There's no two raindrops the same. There's no two blades of grass the same. So we are not all the same, you know. But what is it that we can see, how we can bring it all together? And the way that we can bring it all together is we start to look at the attributes of each individual of our people and look at the best part of them. You know, not their weaknesses, but what they're good at, and inspire them to move in that direction for greatness, and then we put it all together, and this is how we could become one. And that's, I just wanted to share that with us today, that I don't agree that we're all the same, because not all of us are like Minister Farrakhan. Not all of us are like Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And not all of us are like Moses. We can be like them, and we can strive to be like them, but, you know, We have not done that, so that's all I wanted to say.
Let me just say in defense of the sister, of course you live, Brother Carl, is that when we're talking about the circumstances under which our people suffer, then
right.
We are all suffering the same. All of us is the original people of the earth. We are all suffering the same. We are all faced with the same plight and the same despair and the same injustices. And so we have that commonality does put us all in the same boat. We are the same people who are suffering these injustices brought on by the oppressors and the conditions created by them. And so it is in that mindset and in that form of unison that it's going to take to, you know, that's what it's going to take to get us out of this situation. I think that's what she was expressing.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes,
I totally agree with that, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Well,
thank you for straightening me out, sister.
You know I would. with love, though. It's all love,
no,
Brother
yes,
Carl. You know
yes,
that.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, we're coming down to the last 2 minutes.
Sir.
And we're coming down to the last 2 minutes. Brother Ghazi, I'd like you to give out that address one more time, please.
Yes, sir. The address is 3732 West Michigan, Phoenix, Arizona, 85009. And also, if any believer want to reach me directly, my 602-544-6236. One quick thing, you know, any believer who's had experience in dealing with, like, substance abuse issue, mental health issue, you know, like, your advice, your input, your experience is invaluable to us. So that's definitely a way people can help people who have any experience in dealing with the homeless, those who've been incarcerated. Please, by all means, call me and we can get some advice from you. 602-544-6239. And Brother Kareem, and Sister Aziz, I just want to thank Allah for you all allowing us to even express this, you know, through you all's program. And I pray to Allah that He grant you all much, much success.
Thank you.
And Queen Aziza, you know what time
yes,
it
sir.
Is? Yes, sir. It's that lineup.
Sister,
okay.
What was the last 4 digits
think...
that brother said? I'm sorry.
Oh, what's the last 4 digits of your phone number, Brother Ghazi?
It's 602-544-6239.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Walaikum salam. Okay, and tomorrow I believe there's a believers meeting. I'm not sure, but due to that, Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle, we're going to do a rebroadcast on disaster preparedness on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Join us for DJ Black Caesar and friends. And on Thursday, I'll be back with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and his beautiful wife, Sister Ruth, as we talk about as we talk to the men about how much do you really love your wives. Huh, you know y'all can't wait for that one. And on Friday, we're doing part two with Student Minister, Western Regional Representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Tony Muhammad will be back as he led the protest against the L.A. Clippers and Donald Sterling a couple weeks ago. He's coming back to give us part two of that. And on Sunday, Brother Jamil Muhammad will be on at 6:30 p.m. He's going to talk about how to use social media to propagate Islam. So don't miss that 6:30 Sunday. And next Monday, we'll be right back here with you, Brother Kareem. And what's the topic?
The topic next week, by Allah's permission, is it's nation time.
Woo. Yes, sir. Well, y'all heard it right here. So that's the end of our broadcast. Brother Ghazi, thank you. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. May Allah continue to bless you and all of the believers there working with you and your endeavors. We are here whenever you need us, so just call on us, hit us in the inbox, do whatever you have to do to reach us. You have our full support. With no doubt. So we will leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.